Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to lesson 13, which I have titled The Anointing of Jesus and Entry into Jerusalem. Now we are continuing with our exposition of the Gospel of John. In the previous lesson, we saw Jesus performing a great miracle of resurrecting Lazarus from the dead. And it causes many people to believe, but it also comes with a lot of antagonism. Now, we are moving on here to chapter 12, where I'll do an overview of the chapter. Look at the key revelation, which is John chapter 12 and verse 25 to 26. Then five lessons that we draw out of that chapter, then we will conclude. So get your Bible, get your notebook, let us flow together. We see here that it was 6 days now before Passover, and Jesus returns to Bethany. And this is Bethany where Lazarus had been dead and was raised from the dead. And he had supper with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Lazarus, the one who was dead, is sitting at the table. What a testimony. The man who was in the grave is now seated at the table, eating together with Jesus. The Bible says Martha was serving at the table. In other portions of the gospel, you hear of Martha complaining. These are other gospels, Matthew, Luke. Martha saying, "Why am I serving alone?" And Mary is not. Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says to Martha, "You are worried about many things, but Mary has chosen the better." But the account of John is quite different, because it then says in verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Ointment is like a perfume. So she took that perfume. Other versions talk of an alabaster box. And she took it and poured it on the feet of Jesus. Not even on his head, not even on his hands, but his feet. She lowered herself, worshipped him with that sacrificial offering to his feet. And she did not get a towel to wipe his feet. She used her own hair. You would understand one thing about women is they are very particular about their hair. They don't even want people just touching their hair. But look at this woman. She takes that hair, which the Bible says the glory of a woman is in her hair. She takes her glory, she humbles herself, and she begins to wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 4, then one of the disciples, whose Judas Iscariot, the son of Simeon, when he saw this, because he knew the cost of this ointment, which was about 300 pence or 300 denarii, wage for about 300 days. He says, "Why didn't we take this and give it to the poor?" He acted as if he was genuinely concerned about the poor, but it was nothing to do with the poor. Then it stated that he was the one who kept the purse or the bag of money. He was the treasurer and he was a thief. He was stealing out of that bag. And Jesus knew it and did not say anything. And it's very dangerous for you to be doing something and the one who knows keeps quiet and you think you are getting away with it. It's better you repent and come clean. Now you see here that this guy Judas was a tzotzi. And he was stealing and he's pretending to be a man that cares for those that are poor, yet he doesn't care for them at all. Then Jesus responded and says in verse 7, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying as she kept this." So he's saying she's anointing me in advance for my burial. Then verse 8 says, "For the poor always you will have with you, but me you will not have always." So he's saying to them, understand times and seasons. The poor will always be there for you to do whatever you want to do, but I am not always around. In other accounts of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, you hear Jesus saying, what this woman has done will be talked about all over the world. You see, and I'm preaching and teaching today, and what Mary did, I am talking about it, this sacrificial worship that came through this ointment. We speak about it even until today. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Now, from verse 12 to verse 19, we see Jesus now entering into Jerusalem. Now, there was a plot to kill not just Jesus now. When you look at verse 12, there was a plot to kill even Lazarus, because it came to a place that now they say, now, you see, this miracle, the person who has been healed is still alive and people are seeing it, and you can't discredit it. So in order to get rid of this, we have to kill the miracle itself. Let's kill Lazarus so that there is no reason for many people to continue to believe in Jesus. Because verse 11 says, by reason of him, many Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Hallelujah. So from verse 12 now, the next day, because Bethany was very close, and when we began it, we saw that it was just 6 days before Passover, which was a major feast for the Jews, as I taught in earlier lessons. And so Jesus enters into Jerusalem during this time where they were preparing for Passover, and people took branches of palm trees. Verse 13 says, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, which is a young donkey, he sat on it, as it is written in verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on the ass colt, sitting on a young one of a donkey. And this had been prophesied. So Jesus enters not with a horse, but he enters on a donkey, the Son of God in humility. And people are saying, Hosanna to the King of Israel. And verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. So the disciples could not understand in the moment. It was after his resurrection that they began to understand that this was prophetic. Now, the people there of verse 17, that were there when he raised Lazarus from the dead, were there to give record and testimony. And for this cause, people also met him, for they had heard what he had done, that he had done this miracle. So you see, this miracle had traveled, and it was news all over Jerusalem. There was no internet then, there was no WhatsApp, but there was word of mouth. When such a miracle happens, people talk and say, did you hear, did you hear? So when he enters into Jerusalem, there is a huge celebration, and the Pharisees are not happy about this. They are not happy at all. And they say, look, the whole world has gone to him. All the things that we've been trying to do are not helping at all. Now, verse 20 to 35, Jesus gives a prophecy about his death. Some Greeks come there in verse 20. They came to the feast, because the feast in Israel attracted many who had believed in Judaism from other nations. So Greeks had come, and some Greeks come to Philip and say they desire to see Jesus. That's what they desire. They'd come for Passover, but they'd heard about Jesus and they desired to see him. So Philip came and he told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went to tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So here he's speaking about his death, and he says, a corn, one seed of wheat, a corn of wheat, if it doesn't fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. It remains just one seed. But when it goes into the ground and it germinates, it produces multiple seeds of corn. So Jesus is saying, if I don't die, I'll just remain alone as the Son of God. But if I go into the ground and die, I will produce many sons, like you and I are sons of God today because of the death of Christ on the cross. Verse 26, it says, if any man save me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man save me, him will my Father honor. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So Jesus then continues, now in my soul troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came unto this hour. So Jesus already is troubled because he senses that the time is near, and he says, save me from this hour, but this reason I have come to this hour. For this purpose I have come, so that I may go to the cross. So he then says in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then a voice came from heaven and said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. So the people who stood there heard it but could not understand who it spoke. Some said it thundered, others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, told them and said, the voice was not for me, it was for your sakes. Now this is judgment of the world, he says. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So this is the devil. And if I be lifted up from the earth and draw all men unto me, you see that as he is lifted, here he's talking about the cross, that when he's lifted up on the cross, he will draw men unto him. So that's the power of the cross. Verse 33 says, this is signified what death he would die. The people answered, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How is it the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Right. And Jesus answered them and said, yeah, a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goes. So he's telling them that in a little while, this light that you see, you will see no more. They did not understand that the Christ had to suffer, as Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah, that he had to bear our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was beaten for our transgression. So here they are saying, we know the Christ will abide forever. They are true in that saying, but they had limited understanding that he's abiding forever and to first go through the cross, where you take victory on the cross, and through the cross you draw many people unto the Lord. From verse 36 to 50, we see there that Jesus' miracles caused division. So we see throughout the scriptures and the chapters of John that people were divided. Some believed, some did not believe. And there was always contention among the people. So in verse 7, he says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed him not. They said of Isaiah the prophet, the saying of Isaiah the prophet was fulfilled, which spoke, who spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So you see, Isaiah had already prophesied ahead, and they said, who has believed our report? So Jesus came into this world, a world that he created. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. They did not even believe in him. And Isaiah prophesied that already. And they lacked that. And the Bible says their hearts were hardened, their eyes and ears were closed. They could not comprehend and receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is what led to their destruction. So, but the Bible says that nonetheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because they were Pharisees, they did not confess, lest they should be chased or put out of the synagogue. So among the Pharisees, you remember Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He went to Jesus by the night. He was a believer. And there were many others that had believed, but in fear of losing their positions, they respected more of their positions than gaining Christ. And that is where they missed it. So they believed but could not confess it openly. Jesus then says in verse 44, Jesus cried out and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but believeth on him that sent me. And he that sent me, that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should abide not in darkness. If any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. Has no one judged him? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Hallelujah. So Jesus, you see this theme also throughout the Gospel of John. He continues to remind the people that whatever he's doing, he's not doing on his own authority. He was sent. And he says, "He who believes in me does not only believe in me, he believes in the one who sent me. The words that I am speaking," he says, "are not my own words. This is what the Father commanded me to speak." So he that rejects this word, by the same words he shall be judged, because he has rejected the words of the Father. And he says that he who receives the words receives life, because the commandment in that word is life everlasting. Hallelujah. Now, what is the key revelation we see in this chapter? It is in John chapter 12 and verse 25 to 26. He says, "Anyone who loves his life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it unto eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also would be." Hallelujah. "My Father will honor the one who serves me." So Jesus says, in this world, you have to hate your life. It's not self-hate, as someone would put it, but to say you don't have a love for preservation, but you give up your life for the sake of serving God. So you are not afraid to lose your life. You lose it. The Bible says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet lose his own soul?" So anyone who gives up his life unto Christ to serve him, he says, "Where my servant is, where I am, my servant should be there." So for you to be fully committed to Christ, you must surrender everything to him, so that wherever he is, you are there. Whatever he requires, you are doing also. And the Bible says, "And the Father will honor such a servant." Following after Christ demands self-denial. He says, "Deny yourself and carry your cross." The cross is sacrifice. So denying of self privileges certain pleasures of the flesh, so that you may surrender unto the will of God and his perfect will. And this is the key portion of scripture. If we are to follow Christ, we need to follow him according to this scripture. Five lessons that we draw from this chapter. Number one, sacrifice and worship will make room for you. You see that Mary, because of her worship and sacrifice, where she sacrificed the ointment worth 300 days of wages, room was made for her. it is talked about her. And wherever the gospel is preached, she is talked about. Why? Worship and sacrifice. That's very important. You must learn worship and sacrifice go together. You can't worship without sacrifice. That's why in the Old Testament, when they were going to worship, they would go with a sacrifice. When the word worship is first mentioned in the Bible, it is Abraham going up the mountain to Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. And he says to the servants, remain here while I go yonder to worship with the young men. So worship works together with sacrifice. That is why the Bible says, offer yourself, Romans chapter 12, as a living sacrifice. There must be something you bring to the altar if you are to worship God. And it is our worship and our sacrifice that makes room for us. Hallelujah. Number two, learn to honor in season. In season. Many people honor when it is too late. Jesus says that she has honored me while I am still with you, because in a little while I will no longer be there. And in a little while, Jesus was no longer there. Those that had failed to honor him while he was in the flesh, they had missed their opportunity. And many people are like that. They only remember someone when he's gone, that there was a wonderful person, there was an honorable person. But by that time, you don't have capacity to honor them because you missed your season. So let's learn to honor in season. Hallelujah. Number three, the testimony will continue to speak. Lazarus was a testimony that continued to speak. That's why they tried to destroy and to kill him, because that testimony was visible. And that's the power of a testimony. That is why Jesus says in the book of Revelation, they overcame him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So you see that the testimony carries power. It speaks louder sometimes than even our words. That is why it's important to have testimonies of what God has done in our lives. Number four, sacrifice is required to follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus without sacrifice. You must be willing to sacrifice certain things, to let go of certain things, to lose certain things in order to follow Jesus. Without it, you are not able, and you will not be able to fully follow Christ. Hallelujah. And lastly, share your faith. Don't believe in secret. That was the problem of the Pharisees that believed. They were secret believers. They could not come in the open. If you are a believer, share your faith. Post it on WhatsApp, share it on Facebook, on Instagram, share it with your family, your friends. Don't be a secret believer. Be a believer that can openly confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life and you believe in Jesus. At work, at school, wherever you are, Jesus says, they that confess me publicly, I will also confess them before the Father. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Pray that God, you may teach us genuine worship, worship that is with sacrifice, that we know how to offer ourselves as living sacrifice before you. Teach us to honor people in season, to honor you, God, in season, that God, we may carry a testimony of your goodness, and that God, we may be able to lay down our lives to follow Jesus. And that, God, we may share our faith and declare our faith to as many people as possible, that we may not be ashamed of Jesus, that we may not be secret believers, but we may openly testify that we believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.